Who did this?
Are you freaking serious right now? No, wait, both of you are he's pointing to himself and she's pointing to someone else. These are beaver nuggets.
I don't know what that means, actually.
After you were trying to motivate me earlier and telling me that, Danny, the chocolate Lucky Charms are not helpful and beneficial to your goal, you're sitting right next to the culprit, and then you bring me... I'm eating them. But fortunately, guess what? The whole bag isn't here. Because you know what happens with beaver nuggets? I eat the whole freaking bag. Thank you for the snack size. I'm actually 500 behind on calories today. So, you want to help me? Oh, frick, man. This is crank, the stuff you used to sell. Oh, no, you sold meth? No, it's just weed. It was only weed, right? I want everyone to know your past. Because you are so inspirational. Yes. You have a gift of inspiration, and until you are able to grab your cojones and go there, the inspiration isn't birthed. Who wants a beaver nugget? Come on, you know you love these. This is crack cocaine right here. Look at my son. They're beaver nuggets. They're freaking unbelievable. Well, see, Ray knows exactly what these taste like. They're almost done.
You don't get these in Australia.
You do not get these in Australia. You better get your hand in there, Digby, fast, or you ain't getting nothing.
I'm just kidding.
Woo, you look hot. You look hot. Did you meet my brother yet? This is the girl I was telling you about. Come here, Jonathan. This is Mariana. This is Jonathan. You look amazing. You look like you're like... You got a purpose or something. This is positioning and branding right here, baby. You can have the rest. There you go. I only had 100 calories. You learn from the best. That's really good. Mariana, come here. I am never going to wear this jacket on stage again. Because it made me... Ooh, you're almost there. No, but you have 2 shirts on underneath.
Yeah, sure.
What do you think? Linda? It has a little tight pencil skirt with it that has little ruffles in the back. Size 6. I mean, you got that. Yeah, I am growing a butt.
No, me, I'm growing
you already
butt.
Have one.
Are you growing a butt?
I'm totally growing a butt. What are you talking about?
What are you doing?
Look at my... Yeah, verifying. I'm going to give this away, is what I'm saying. So, who wants it? It's... Well, you weren't really looking like you wanted it. So, I mean, you wear that proud? My Mariana in the last 3 months has done $50,000 in sales each month. It's yours. And the skirt. When are you coming? Are you going to... I need to get the skirt to you. Are you leaving to Curacao?
Did you say you're inviting me for dinner?
Did I say I'm inviting you for dinner? Did you hear her? Wow. When are you leaving to Curacao?
Monday.
Monday? I need to get the skirt to you. It's hot. No, it's at my house. Okay, so you can have the whole suit. Do you know what's happened in that suit? Lives, what the hell is this? Oh my gosh. Micah! Micah! Where's my son? Where's Micah? Is he anywhere? He knew with a beaver nugget. Look at this. Who did this? Who? Brandy, you did. Really? So I'm not Martha anymore. I'm Wonder Woman. My son Micah calls me Wonder Woman. And he wants to dress me up as Wonder Woman when the next Justice League movie comes out. So anyway, that's pretty awesome. Wait, the boobs need to come up here. You would think after five children they'd be down here. But they have surgical things to take care of that. That's awesome. That's Micah's theme song on his phone whenever I call him. That's what plays. He's the best. He put a Wonder Woman sticker on my car. Yeah, there literally is a Wonder Woman sticker on my car. Has done wonders for me? God works wonders in me. Amen. Through me and in me. He's done it in me for sure. Oh my goodness, you guys, I'm just so excited about this weekend. I am personally, I just know some people are going to have some incredible growth in their careers and businesses. I just see so many doubling, tripling, 10Xs on business. Like that woman in Latvia, right? 50,000 to 750,000 is more than 10X, right? What is that number, actually? I don't even know. Anyway, all right, what we are about to learn, I'm so excited to teach you. As a business owner for 20... How old am I? I've been a business owner since I was 19. So how many? I'll be 49 in March. Okay. So what is that? That's 30 years in March. Yeah. So 29 years I've been a business owner. Now you can just tell me right now, Danny, you don't look old enough to have been in business for 20. Go ahead, say it. I need it. I receive that. Thank you. I receive that. Okay. I am a grandmother of 8 and hopefully 25 to start. That's my goal, is to have 25 grandchildren. I love being a grandmother. Nona. I'm Nona. I'm not a grandmother. I'm Nona. Shut your mouth. When I first became a grandmother, my very good friend JP, who's the one who launched me in business 29 years ago, said grannyjohnson.com. I was like, that was 12 years ago. My oldest grandchild was 12 years old. So 12 years ago, he's like, grannyjohnson.com, it's perfect. I'm like, you. Like, wow, that is so not cool. Yeah, great positioning. Yeah, wonderful URL. How do you spell that? Jackass is how you spell that, you jerk. Anyway, so what I'm about to show you. So as being a business owner for 29 years. Jeez. I didn't start when I was 7. But yeah, I started the year after I had Christina. And Christina's 30, and she'll be 31 in April. So... yeah, so I was 18 when I had her and 19 when I birthed my first business. soon after. So anyway, my point is that, that being a business owner for 29 freaking years, it's a very long time. How many of you would agree that that's a long time? I have a little tiny bit of business experience in 29 years, and I've generated tens of millions of dollars, whether it's been online or offline, various different types of industries. My first business was in the water business, then the weight loss business, then I manufactured my own nutritional supplements and herbal tonics for putting energy. I also developed an entire skincare line. I did that at 24 and 25. Lots of different businesses, including the publishing business, the seminar business. So lots of different businesses. And then you put Hans in the mix. He had an ISP. We've been in the cattle business, the internet business. We've been in developing IT products, which is software, the software business, the oil business, of which not everything has always succeeded. There's been a lot of things that have failed, but there is one particular skill set that I can tell you that is so incredibly powerful and high value as an employer and an entrepreneur as well. And I'm an employee within my own business, obviously, but there is this one skill set that has intense high value. And I know that all the other business owners in here who actually have employees, where are you if you have employees? Okay, so if you have employees, when I go to express what this is, you are so going to completely concur. Yes, this is huge. But anybody here that's in management, you're in leadership inside of a company, and you're responsible for leading a people, raise your hands. So directly, you have people that directly report to you. You're responsible for their production, and perhaps your pay is determined by how well you actually do that. This particular skill set I'm about to teach you is so valuable. And people in management know how valuable it is. Entrepreneurs know how valuable it is. And so if you're not in any of those categories yet, but I will also tell you that parents, like as a parent, you have to get really good at conflict resolution. This has extreme high value. If you're married, you have to get really good at resolving conflict like a pro. And that's what we're about to walk through, is the skill set and the strategy of resolving conflict like a pro. It requires a particular mindset in order to do it. And what I can tell you, if you focused on this, you would elevate yourself very, very fast in high levels of leadership roles. You could double, triple, quadruple your income very, very quickly with just this one particular skill set. So we're going to go through an experience where you're going to learn how to actually prevent some conflict. And then if you're already in the full-fledged conflict, how do we resolve it like a pro? Versus like the seventh graders that most of us resolve conflict like. Like I have resolved conflict in various different points of my life throughout the years of, you know, you have a 2-year-old temper tantrum and then you have a 14-year-old freak out session. You know what I mean? And the world is ending and it's all over and everything. Let me see where you high drama people are. I just love that there were 30 honest people here today. That people just freak out when things are not going right, or you find out that somebody's leaving the organization, or somebody's stealing a bunch of customers, or somebody's switching to a different company. How many of you have been through something like that before? Right? Or that the top producer in the company, people hate that person. Everyone just hates them and they are the target and everyone wants to make all kinds of assumptions about them and gossip about them. And right? How many of you have been in that kind of situation before? Okay, cool. So the key is to not be drug into those kinds of situations, but how do you stay above those situations and be steadfast and true to who you are? And how are you able to stand the test of everyone's gossip or slander or belittling or judgment or accusations? You have to imagine that in my role and in my position in life and with the kind of whatever you want to call it, notoriety that I've had throughout the world, that there is an absolute, a good amount of judgment that comes against me, right? You have to assume that people make all kinds of assumptions, right? They misjudge me constantly. They say some very horrible things about me. In fact, who here has done that? About me. Yeah, look, Xtina is so proud and she's like, I did. I absolutely did. And that's great. And Xtina's still here. You've been here for how long? And I love this woman. 2013. So it's been almost 5 years, right? And so she was one of those, right? And well, look at how in the world is she not anymore, right? Xtina and Brad, this is so amazing. Xtina and Brad were 4 weeks ago in Atlanta for First Step Success. The very next Friday, Xtina got my daughter-in-law ready as a bride. So she came to the wedding and served at the wedding. And then the very next weekend, they were in Latvia for First Step Success. And then 4 days after, they were at the National Day of Prayer in Latvia. And then here we are 1 week later, and they're here at Creating a Dynasty. And she taught a class she helps women be beautiful. She absolutely helps women be beautiful, which, by the way, I'm wearing her lipstick and her eyeshadow and her foundation and her highlighter and a bunch of other stuff. Yes, and these are my own eyelashes. they are. These are mine. Well, I guess the ones you put on are also yours, but I didn't buy these. These grew out of my eyes. Anyway, I can thank my Nicaraguan father for that because my mom has no eyelashes. Anyway, so what I'm saying is, how do you go from the place of with someone that's disgruntled against you, right, or doesn't trust you, and she had every reason in the world not to trust, right? Why? We all bring baggage to the table. We all bring baggage to the table. We all have issues with leadership. Every single one of us in this room have had been screwed over or neglected, or someone failed us, someone didn't, the perfect person that we thought somebody was. Oh, whoops, they were human. right? Whoops, it wasn't Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Darn it. This person breathes. Did you get my card? Good. Dante, you're awesome. You're such a great smile. Just keep doing that to me, okay? Because it really, it feeds me. Anyways, I mean, you don't have to do it. I think it feeds you too. It feeds everyone around you. Okay, so how do you move from that, first of all, I used to be the person I couldn't handle people's opinions about me. I couldn't handle. If somebody didn't like me, my world was over. My world was over. It was gone. Like, crawl into a hole and just die. In fact, I quit at one point in my career for 4 years. I called it retirement. But I quit because of some woman who had a really poor opinion about me, and she spread that opinion all over the place about me. And I quit. That's how weak I was. I did not know who I was, nor what my own purpose was, or why I was on this planet. So I allowed perfect strangers, as well as clients, friends, and family members, to determine who I was. And that's a very low level of leadership. So that's literally where I was in 1998, 99. I'm like, I'm out. This isn't worth it. No, thank you. It hurts too much. So isn't that crazy? So then to now be in the role that I'm at, where I'm myself, my husband, and my kids are a very public family, you have to know we have people come at us left and right. So we have to have the kind of maturity where it doesn't matter, but how do we resolve that conflict? How do we handle it if somebody doesn't agree with us? What do we do if somebody's mad at us? What do we do when somebody's upset with the service in which we provide? That they've been disappointed or they feel like they did not get the service in which that they were purchasing from you. How many of you would like to learn how to handle that really, really well? This is a major high value skill set. I'm very excited to be able to walk you through an experience to where you get so good at this that you're not afraid of conflict anymore. That's the main thing. I'm going to walk you through a conflicting experience so that you can stop fearing conflict and be able to hit it head on in honor to where we bring unity and restoration and harmony. One of the first things that you have to get through is this. Harmony is not maybe what you think it is, and neither is unity. You see, a very immature understanding of unity is everyone thinks like me. And my job is to get everyone to think like me who doesn't think like me. This is childish. That's childish. No, everyone thinks different. Everyone has a different opinion. Everyone has a different perception, a different understanding. And guess what? On purpose. That's the way we were designed. So then now it's about discovering how those that are around us think, how they perceive, and how they understand, because their understanding, their opinion, their perception, and their the way they see things actually is now a fuller picture of how we see things. We actually don't see the full picture of anything. None of us do. Not a single one of us. No matter how smart we are, there's not a single one of us that see the full perspective at all. We just see our perspective. But it's not the full perspective. Who's the only one that has the full perspective? God. God's the only one. He's all-knowing, right? He's ever-present. So he's the only one that has the full perspective. So that means who you're living with, your spouse and your two children, they have a fuller perspective collectively than you do by yourself. So you actually need their perceptions to get a fuller picture. Okay? The same with the people that you work with in your company. The same with them. That each coworker that you have, so there's your coworkers, there's your management team, and then who? Your clients. Your clients. So getting that fuller perspective. So you're never looking for who agrees with you. No, it's what other perspective do they bring to the table so that we get a fuller picture than what we can see ourselves. We are limited and we are blinded by our own perception. And we actually hold up our own perception to be higher than everybody else's that is around us. So this is why I used to be buried by other people's opinions that didn't gel with mine. I would feel threatened by it. I would be buried by it. I'd feel paralyzed by it. I'd feel stupid. I'd feel really, really stupid if not everyone bought into my opinion. So what helped me to become a better closer and a better unifier was drawing from the opinions and perspectives of other people and gaining more understanding through the other people instead of just trying to sell my own. So this is going to help you become so dynamically powerful at home and at work. There's just simple little steps. You're going to learn a powerful formula. You're going to learn how to charge straight into conflict with a weapon of mass destruction, and it brings harmony. It just brings harmony. It brings resolution. It brings peace. It actually brings healing. It helps unity be created. Now, let's talk about unity for just one more second. How is that actually created? Is that created at Disneyland type of experiences? Where, first of all, trust is the main component in unity. There is no unity without trust. Trust. It's the main component in unity. But how is trust developed? Okay. New people, first time here, I want you to think about this question, ponder on this. Where is trust developed? It's a battle. It's on the battlefield is where trust is developed. It's not at Disneyland. Trust is not developed when everything is perfect. Trust is developed when things are bad. So it's through conflict where trust is developed. But how many of you avoid conflict? I'm going to put up 5-10 hands. If I had them, I'd be putting them all up. Look around the room. Look at how many people avoid conflict. So without conflict, there is no trust. You can't develop trust without conflict. Therefore, you can't develop unity without conflict. So many of us go through life trying to avoid conflict. Let me see the hands again. Who avoids conflict? So look around the room. Look at all of us. And I would have to say these are some of the very highly courageous people. You've learned a lot of skills. Look around this room. Look at all of us that avoid conflict like the plague. Now, that's not just pearls. How many rubies avoid conflict? Ooh, I think we just got a little respect for the pearls. Pearls, where are you that avoid conflict? Now, the pearls were wired to avoid conflict. But the rubies had their hands up that they avoid conflict. I want to see the hands, the rubies that avoid conflict. How many of you came from an abusive home? It makes a lot of sense when you come from a home where there's a lot of screaming or hollering, or that there it was a home that you had super high standards that you had to live up to, and if you don't, then you get yourself in big, bad trouble. Okay, how many of you grew up in a home like that? So you don't want to create conflict. You want to create problems for anybody, right? So the fact is that you cannot grow without conflict. You can't grow without it. Mine and Hans's marriage is what it is today because we've had to learn how to handle conflict. I was the avoider of all conflict. He loves to stir it. In case you didn't figure that out. Okay? He is Mr. Contrarian the minute he wakes up in the morning. Okay? So it was like oil and water. It really was like oil and water. And I didn't respect the positioning of conflict and the purpose of it. And he didn't either up until this last 4 years. It just is something he did, but maybe didn't understand the purpose of it. Okay, so we're going to create a conflict that we're all going to walk through together, all right? So what we need to be is open-minded. We need to be able to walk through the same because what's on the other side is changing lives. What's on the other side of this conflict that we're going to create is possessing now the skill to be able to no longer avoid it, which is stunting our growth. When we avoid conflict, we cannot grow. It's what is conflict? It's iron sharpening iron. Conflict is the refiner's fire, right? So for those of you that read the best success book ever written, this is what God purposely does to us to refine us. Okay, it's part of our refining process. So conflict is not something we should fear or avoid. It is something we should look for to improve who we are. And in that conflict, it's iron sharpening iron, which means we're getting sharper, and so are the other people that we're walking the conflict with. Okay, so how many of you are the ones that try to keep everybody happy? Let me ask you a question. How well does that work? Let me just see that again. How many of you are the ones that try to keep everybody happy? And how well does it work?
It
sucks, doesn't it? You get taken advantage of. Absolutely. You feel walked on, right? So it doesn't work. So how many of you think it might be a good idea to have a new strategy? Because if the current strategy isn't working, right? If the current strategy isn't working, then you need a new strategy, right? This new strategy will absolutely work, all right? And this is something that even I need a reminder of. I recently happened to be with a colleague. We did a retreat, and it was like glaring me in the face. Man, I've been avoiding conflict. This is stupid. This is stupid. I'm hurting my team if I'm avoiding conflict. I don't avoid conflict with the clients. Why am I avoiding conflict with my team? This is not helping anybody. So avoiding conflict doesn't help to bring resolution, doesn't bring harmony, doesn't bring unity. But digging into the conflict to hear the different perspectives and perceptions does bring resolution, brings harmony, brings peace, and trust. Trust. Trust gets birthed in conflict. Come on, look at these men who fight on a battlefield. What is that? Conflict. And they come out as a band of brothers. Did you hear me? They come out as a band of brothers. If they didn't come out a band of brothers by watching football every Monday night. Did they? Uh-uh. They didn't become a band of brothers by going to church and have a men's group once a week. Is that where they became a band of brothers? No. It was in the conflict, nearly losing their lives, having to work together as a team, having to solve those problems together that were life-threatening. That's how they come out as a band of brothers. Well, you're... Anyway. So, on that note, we're going to get into groups of four. So you're going to turn your chairs around. I'm going to give you very short, simple instructions. You're going to walk through these instructions like a pro, pretending like you're a professional, pretending to be an executive that is able to manage high conflict situations. All right? We're just going to pretend. How many of you know how to pretend? Okay? Let's pretend we can do it. Alrighty. Now we need the full groups of four. Okay, we need the full groups of four. Quick question. How many of you did your homework assignment at lunch and you three times through practice? Stand up. Give these people a hand. They followed directions. Amazing job. Thank you so much for pressing in to get better at that particular skill set. Again, you're going to get better at whatever you focus on. You're going to get better at whatever you focus on. You learn how to become a great promoter. Again, you're going to make a lot of money. A lot of money. Promoters make a ton of cash. All right, so groups that are not complete groups of four, stand. The whole group, stand to your feet so we see how many people are needed. Okay, start moving. Locate the group and go to it. Just move. One group. Go ahead. You guys move. Don't wait for someone to come to you. As soon as your group is complete, sit down. That group is complete. You're one person standing up. You need one person. You know what? You could not have a better person in your group. That man right there is an amazing man who just sat in your group. Primo. Primo, stand up. Primo is a father, a rancher, a very, 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 very successful businessman. I want to hug you. I'm asking God to heal. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I just lift up this precious patriarch of his family. God, I thank you for how he cares so much for his wife and his children. I thank you, God, for how he's believed in them. I thank you, Father, for his humility to have brought his family to these events so many years ago. Father, I thank you for how you've blessed him, that you've given him wealth, you've given him influence. And God, I pray that you extend his life, that his latter days will be greater than his former days, that you bring health and vitality to this body from head to toe. Father, that you touch him, all of his organs, his blood, everything works exactly according to your perfect will. Father, I pray that you bring extension to him in every way, that you bring life into his lungs, you bring life into his muscles, you bring life into his blood, life into his bones, the marrow, everything. Father, I pray that he has greater, greater, greater joy that you bring into his life from this day forward. I pray that he sees his next generation in an even greater way. Father, I pray that you surround him with great people, encouraging people, people that will continue to speak life, life, life over him. I pray also that you surround his family with great comfort and honor and sustainability, God, that they will continue with their prayers to believe for the absolute best, that they will continue to speak life over whatever it is that they are looking at, whatever somebody is saying, that they would continue to speak life in the face of what they are facing. God, I bless Primo right now. I bless him. I bless him. I bless him. I bless the work of his hands, the work of all the hands in which he has trained up all of these years, the work of the hands of his family, his children, father and grandchildren, great, great, great grandchildren that are to come. I bless you. I bless you. I bless you, Primo. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Bless you, brother. Okay. Love you. Proud of you. Proud of you. You're gonna make it. Only by the grace of God. Okay. Volunteers, pass out the forms. Were you instructed to pass out all three? Tab one, just whatever's in tab one. Face down. Please, no one turn it over until I give you instructions. And don't mess up the order of what they're passing to you face down. I know some of you are, there we go. Yeah, tab one. Keep it face down. So again, we're going to pretend like we're pros and we're good at this. Okay? That's what we're going to do. We're going to pretend like we're a pro and we're good at it. Okay. You have 2 minutes to follow these very simple instructions. You're going to turn the paper over and you're going to write down 5 things you do not appreciate about each person in your group. Remember, you're a pro. You're a pro. We are one big happy family, and we're going to end this a more trusting, more loyal, happier family. That's what's on the other side of this. What's on the other side is that we're actually going to like each other more. Okay? So write down 5 things you do not appreciate about each person in your group. I want to know who will be the first 100 people to set the example and to finish this thing fast. On your mark, get set, go. Number one, raise your hands. Number two, raise your hand. Three, four. Listen to the instructions carefully. Number one is going to tell number two what they wrote about three and four.
Oh.
And number two is going to tell number one about what they wrote about three and four. But don't worry, because three is going to tell number four what they wrote about one and two, and four is going to tell number three what they wrote about one and two. Thank you. All right, that was 2 minutes, Chad? Yes. Okay. So amazing, man. When we did the listening exercise, I had to coach you on smiling, engaging, having eye contact. Wow, you must have learned really well from our training that we've had. Either that or this is much more fun. One or the other. Okay, so now listen carefully to the instructions. Person number one, raise your hand. Number two, three, four. I'm so glad you know who you are. So now, here's how this is going to go. Person number one, raise your hand. You are going to talk to number four. So one and four are going to talk about two and three, and two and three are going to talk about what they wrote about one and four. Go! 2 minutes. All right. Here's the next set of instructions. Person one and two, please switch seats. One and two, switch seats. Okay. Now, if one and two just switch seats, you no longer have your original number. So now what I need is the new number one, the new number two. Perfect. So now, the new number one and number four are going to talk to each other about what they said about the other people on the team. And the new number two, along with number three, are going to talk about one and four. Go. Awesome! Gotta take down the fun just a little bit right now, because you guys are belly laughing, which I think is awesome. It's awesome to have some belly laughter. Okay, so now we just created some artificial conflict, right? Well, let's just say we just created some conflict. Because oftentimes, conflict actually is artificial. It is. So now how do we deal with it as leaders? How do we approach drawing unity out of a team that's been divided against itself? The skill set you are about to learn and these simple little steps, including a script, is going to help you Rubies make a ton of frickin' money. It is going to help you Emeralds be able to go in and resolve and solve some of the most complex situations that happen amongst the staff and the family with absolute effectiveness, efficiency, and ease. You Sapphires are going to be able to learn how to build more longevity, more loyalty, and build an enduring business and or career at what you're doing from possessing this skill of being able to manage conflict and to do it well. And you Pearls are going to take a house that is divided against itself that will not stand, and you will clearly bring that thing together, unify, so that it stands the tests of time. So here's the instructions. Number one, oftentimes conflict is created through the differences of opinions and perception. If you think about it, that's really the truth. Where does conflict come from? Two different people that don't agree on something and don't know how to communicate it. What do I mean by don't know how to communicate it? It is dishonoring to not allow another person to have an opinion. One of our core values is honor. And it is dishonoring not to allow another human being to have an opinion. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have an opinion? How many of you are human? Awesome. We are all human. Every single human on the planet has an opinion. And it is dishonoring and it's immature not to allow another human being to have an opinion. We all have a right to our opinion. The other side of that is that some people try to shut people's opinion down. They don't want to hear another person's opinion because they know it's not going to be the same as theirs, which is also dishonoring of yourself because you're actually cheating yourself from a fuller perspective. So you're dishonoring you and others by not asking for other people's opinions and not trying to get it or wanting to hear it, okay? Second, it's dishonoring to not allow humans to have emotion. You dishonor another human by not allowing them to have their own feelings. But I was that person that if your feelings were an attack against me, and that's how I perceived it, I don't want you to have feelings. I took your feelings as an attack on myself. That's dishonoring to both parties. Every human needs to have the right to have their own feelings and to have the room and the space and the freedom and the safety to have their own feelings. But if we're the kind of leaders that don't want people to have feelings and we can't allow people to express their feelings, I'm going to use the example with me and Hans as a prime example. Growing up in an abusive home where there's lots of screaming and yelling, so whenever somebody starts to escalate, guess what I think is going to happen? It's going to turn violent like that. Violence is going to bust out. But a man was wired and made with aggression. They have far more aggression than a woman does. They have a warrior spirit. They have passion. They have great strength. And I used to perceive when my husband would start to escalate that I perceived that I better call 911 now because the ambulance is going to come. Because when there was escalation in the house I grew up in, hello, my mom's in the hospital, teeth are out, eyes look like Rocky, do you understand? Beaten beyond recognition. So that's my trigger. But I put that on my husband. So therefore, he had an environment where he wasn't allowed to have feelings. And I wasn't allowed to have an opinion. That's a toxic marriage. I wasn't allowed to have an opinion that didn't fit his, and he wasn't allowed to show any emotion. So we both had a lot to learn about each other. And that was honor being first. To allow my husband to have emotions, to express his frustration, and for me not to take it as an attack, and to realize that my weakness was from my childhood, and I'm no longer going to allow my weakness of my childhood to dictate my marriage. Because my home was not a safe place for my husband to be a man, to be passionate. He used to say to me, "You just want me to be a woman. Seriously, you just want me to be a woman." And sadly, as much as I would say, "No, I don't, that's disgusting," the reality was as I was trying to really create that environment where everything had to be peaceful and quiet all the time, and that's just not fair. Now, I'm not saying that Hans blows up. He doesn't blow up anymore, thank God. And that's a couple of different reasons why we don't have that explosive, crazy relationship anymore. But part of it was both of us growing and realizing that his feelings are his, and I don't have to take them as a personal attack. And he didn't have to take my feelings as a personal attack to him. But we recognized, this is how I'm feeling. We didn't have to try to change each other's opinions anymore, but recognizing that with each person, their feelings and opinions actually added a whole bigger, better perspective that had a bigger impact. So as a leader of an organization, I did much better handling conflict in my business than I ever did in my marriage. I was much better skilled as a leader in business and handling conflict with clients or handling with coworkers than I ever did in my personal relationship in my marriage. Usually whoever you're the most intimate with is who you are the most guarded with. You try to guard your heart so you don't get hurt because they're the ones that have the deepest part of your heart. So this exercise of what you're about to learn how to do is you're going to develop three simple strategies. Three simple strategies that the greatest leaders in the world, I believe, do, but the greatest leaders I've ever had the chance to work with who have also been in conflict with me personally, and the way they handled me in that conflict is where I learned this particular skill. So let me give you some really simple instructions. First of all, the leadership that I've had the chance to work with and be in conflict with, whenever they have been, let me ask you a question. How many have ever made a mistake? How many of you just made one? You did. You were just involved in gossip. You were just involved in gossip. So how many of you just made a mistake? So, but Danny, I didn't talk. You listened. You were involved in gossip, okay? So regardless if you said anything or not, doesn't matter. We were all just involved. And now you're 98% mine that wants to shift blame and take no personal responsibility. Danny, you made me do it. No, I didn't hold a gun to your head. And by the way, that's a 98% mentality, taking no personal responsibility. So number one, great leaders take personal responsibility. They own their own mistakes. The mistake does not get shifted on somebody else. It doesn't get blamed on somebody else. The finger is not getting pointed anywhere. They take personal responsibility. Now, do they do it 100% of the time? No. Do I do it 100% of the time? No. I am still working on it. The fact that I can do it as much as I do is a freaking miracle. I'm not kidding you. So taking personal responsibility is number one. So what does it mean to take personal responsibility? You confess your mistake. Remember last night, confess and be healed. Confess and be healed. So number one, take personal responsibility and confess when you've made a mistake. Confess it. Rubies, I want you to set a new goal. I want you to admit you're wrong fast. Fast. And not like this. All right, you're right. I'm wrong. Not like that. That's a bunch of BS. That's a crock. Just like John was a perfect example of a ruby that refuses to admit to a weakness. I can't say that word. I can't say I'm going to get fat. I can't even go there. Even though he knew it, he's like, I'm searching for another way to say it. I'm searching for another way to say it, but I'm not. What happens to the guys that look like you and all of a sudden they stop working out? What happens through time is like, oh God, I got to think of a different answer. I got to think of a different answer. And finally, another person out there said, they get fat. He's like, I can't say that. I refuse to say that. I refuse to go there. Rubies, if you want to lead a tightly woven, powerful team, and you want to create wealth, and you want to leave a legacy, you've got to come to that place of humility that shows that weakness, because it actually shows you to be strong to your people. This BS of don't ever let people see you sweat, that is from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. The world we live in today wants authenticity. They want realness. They want humility. They are tired of the show. They're tired of living up to the BS. They just want people to be real. And it's part of the reason why you love what gets taught here from the stage. Is because there is no BS. There's no putting on a show here. There isn't let me live up and look, make me look like I'm perfect before you. I share my flaws with you. So rubies, you have a weakness. And the weakness is you hate admitting you're wrong. And this causes people to not trust your leadership. So show the weakness. Show the weakness. They will trust you. they will trust you. No one expects anyone to never make a mistake. But we trust people who make a mistake and admit it. How many of you know I'm telling the truth? So there you go. So if you're caught with your chonies down, you caught me. Crap, that sucks. So I would also be looking for accountability, Rubies, that if you have, if your weakness is that you can't admit that you're wrong or you refuse to say what the obvious freaking thing that is right in front of you and you're fighting to be right, have an accountability partner in your office or at your home with you. And that person could even be your wife. That, you know what, I have a major weakness, and that is that I refuse to humble myself and admit when I'm wrong. I try to cover it up. I try to spin it. I try to make my wrong look like it's really good and right. So I want you to hold me accountable because this is not humility. Now, come on. How many of you know humility is what we should be doing? And how many of us are of the faith that we have a Father in heaven that also teaches us that humility, hello, that he does what to the humble? He lifts up the humble and does what? Tears down the proud. So this is a character issue. It's a character issue when we refuse, when we try to cover up the wrong, we try to ignore the wrong, we try to spin the wrong, we try to make the wrong look like it was right. This doesn't build trust. This does not build unity. So immediately just go, okay, this is my weakness. I don't want to work in my weaknesses. My weakness is I have to be right. I argue that I'm right even when I'm wrong. How many of you Rubies do this? When you can raise your hand. That's part of now not walking in the weakness. When you screw up, be the first one to admit it. That's the new goal. Be the first one to admit when I'm in error, I'm the first one to admit it. I'm the first one that when I make a mistake, I'm the first one to admit it. No one else is going to get the chance to confront me. Okay? No one's going to get the chance to confront me. I'm going to be the first one to say, I screwed that up. Okay? All right. So confess and be healed. Confess and be free is what I'm going to say. Confess and be free. You will show yourself to be authentic, and you will help your team to trust you. Number two, great leaders do not receive other people's crap. Great leaders do not receive other people's crap. So when someone else is spewing out their opinion or their feelings, great leaders don't go, I need to go get counseling because someone doesn't like me. Okay? This is the very place I suck the most with. In fact, when we started DannyJohnson.com, Hans knew my weakness so bad in this area that he used to shield me from any bad letters, any bad emails, any bad comments. He said, you have to come to me. You got something you want to say to my wife? You come to me. You do not go to her. And so he shielded, and he actually had Mona even read every card and letter that would come through. And if there was something in there that wasn't nice or a critique, that never got to me. All they did was feed me with positive encouragement from the beginning until I got strong enough to handle it. There no longer is a shield in front of me shielding me away from negative comments. In fact, when Raven first started with us, Raven couldn't handle the negative comments that would come on Facebook. When people would just attack a post that I would make or a show that I did or something, like, oh, I can't believe you, but, and then here comes all of the lashes, and she would just be like, you freaking big. Man, she'd want to fight them, man. Delete. I'm blocking your butt. You suck. I'm like, Raven, this just simply shows that someone has a different opinion. I don't care. No one talks about my mama like that. Okay, seriously, that's how she was. I'm like, I don't need a defender. My defense is Jesus, the Messiah. I'm good. I'm okay. So anyway, my point is I don't need it anymore. I can read those comments. I don't eat the crap that comes from them. It doesn't hurt me. It teaches me. Do you understand? It gives me something to consider. It definitely shows me a different perspective, a different understanding. So it broadens my understanding about people in general. Okay? So, number two, great leaders do not eat other people's crap, okay? Wow. Especially when there is an opinion that is different, okay? Or somebody attacks with their feelings. Somebody attacks with their feelings, they attack with their, my beautiful assistant, can you please hand me that? They attack with their, thank you so much. Other people's crap. Do you know what this is? It's a turd. This is a... Want some? Are you sure? Is this mine? No, I flushed mine. I didn't keep it. Woo! Jeezy peasy. That's a good squatty potty turd right there, isn't it? That ain't no rocky road. No rocky road here, man. Wow. Want some? No sparkles in this one. No, no sparkles. Nah, it's okay. Hi. How you doing? Good, but get that on my face, right? Does anybody want some? Oh, my goodness. That was... Anyway, doctor, are you sure? You don't want to sample it, study it, just go ahead and toss it today? Okay. Okay. Oh, wow. Whoa, sorry. Apologize for that one. Must have been the Cholula I ate. Yes, so this... Whoa! That's kind of one of those internal ones first. Woo! Oh, sorry. Quite a surprise. Woo! Here we go, Joe. Yes, yeah. Okay. So, what is this? This is when you allow other people's opinions and feelings to hurt you. They spoke something in a moment. How many have ever spoken something in a moment that you didn't mean? Wait, let me see those hands. Everyone has done that, but we don't like it when other humans do it. Ha! So we want to be the only ones that can do it, right? We want to be the only ones that can do it, but we expect all other humans not to do it. Is that fair? Is it fair? Excuse me. I apologize. Every once in a while, it just falls out. Sometimes on stage. No joke. Usually on a Saturday night. We gotta watch what I'm eating on Saturdays, man, because that's just not good. It's not good, Pastor, when you're praying for people and you have to fart. It's not good, is it? No. So here's the deal. Gossip or other people's opinions, other people's perceptions. It's just something they said. But then we take it like a poison and we choose to eat it and internalize it and damage our souls. Instead of simply just respecting, everyone has their own perception and opinion. And their perception and opinion does not determine who I am. It doesn't define who I am. I'm not defined by people's emotions, their mindsets, or their opinion. I'm defined by my Creator, who believes in me, backs me, is with me, and for me. That's who I am defined by. So it doesn't matter what comes out of somebody else's mouth in a moment, because we all just raised our hand saying that we have clearly let things come out of our mouth in a flippant moment that we have not meant, right? So can we be the safe place that allows other people to fail in? If you can allow other people to make mistakes around you, then you're a trusted leader and a trusted advisor. If you can't, then people think they have to be perfect in order to be around you. And if they think they got to be perfect in order to be around you, guess what? You will always suffer from a small, little, ineffective, inefficient, non-producing team. That's the facts. So, we're going to have the opportunity to share some... kind of sounds like hemorrhoids right there. Oh, you want some? This is like super good. Yeah. Oh, jeez. Sorry about that one. Anyone have an Imodium? GMO Lucky Charms. Here it is. This is the fruit right here. Okay, so we're going to have the opportunity to throw some crap in the middle of our team here. And then we are going to be able to clean it up. Okay? So number one, what do great leaders do with this? They take personal responsibility and confess. They're... She said it. They confess their... Good to see you again, by the way. They confess it. Number two, what do? They don't eat this stuff. They do not. Where's that camera? There she is. We have good lighting. You ready? So we're going to share what we said. And we're going to make a choice as to whether or not we... Sick. That's really good, Chad. Why do you not want me to take a bite of this? She says it's wrong. It's rotten. It will make me sick. It could kill me. It's toxic. Hey, Noble. So good to see you. So we don't want anyone to take a bite of this, right? Because it's toxic. It could kill you. It's nasty and it's wrong. So please tell me why you take other people's negative words about you and eat it. Hello? Why do we take it and eat it?
Because we don't see ourselves the way that we should see ourselves.
So it doesn't make sense, does it? So look, you have the chance to receive words or not to. You're in control of that. Yesterday, did you all learn that words are seed, right? And you are the soil, right? So you have the choice. And when somebody says something, you have the choice to receive it or what? Not to receive it. I don't receive that. I don't receive that. I have used those very words. Like, I don't receive that. That's not who I am. The bottom line is a perfect stranger might say something, or it could be someone that's close to you might say something, but nobody knows the depths of your heart. Nobody does. There's only one that knows who you really are. And guess who it's not? You. You don't even know who you really are. I don't know who I'm still discovering. I'm almost 50 years old. I'm still learning about me. You're still learning about you. So nobody knows. So even somebody who likes to try to say, well, you know who you are, that's their perceptive. They're entitled to their opinion, and that's okay. And we are safe enough to be a person that allows someone else to have a different opinion than we do. Fair enough? So we're going to put some crap in the middle of the team, and either you're going to take a bite of it or you're not. Who's in control of whether or not they take a bite? You're in control as to whether or not you receive this as seed that will pollute you, or whether or not you'll receive it, and whether or not you'll leave it there. Now, remember the labels conversation yesterday? I had my own children up there, and we were demonstrating the power of words. My kids knew not to receive the labels I was putting on them. They knew not to receive that. They knew, okay, this is a skit. This is not what my mom has ever said about me ever in my entire life. She really knows who I am. But this is for a point of a skip. So none of those words that were spoken went inside of my family, because they have been through this exercise countless times, first of all, and go, I don't receive that. That's not for me. Just like you would say if I said, hey, have a bite. No, thank you, not today. Right? No, thank you, not today. So we're going to have the chance to practice not taking a bite of... Yeah, I know, crap is the rated G version of rotten, disgusting crap. It's politically correct. That's right. All right, so we're not going to take that. So number one, we confess, we take personal responsibility, right? Number two, we're not going to receive other people's crap. Number three, they take the opportunity to quickly forgive, bless, and release. Use these three things. Keep them close to your heart because you will always deal with conflict leaving here. Always. Forever. And the more you grow, the more you'll deal with it. The bigger your organization gets, the bigger your family gets. Your kids grow up, they get married, and they have kids of their own. So the family multiplies. Do you understand? They bring other strangers into the family. Your kids are going to be strangers into the family. You might not like some of those people. You might not approve of the people that they choose to marry. That can happen. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands if you've already experienced. Well, let me ask you this. How many of you married someone your parents didn't approve of? Get ready. You will reap what you sow. I'm kidding. I'm actually not. We all get to walk through and eat the fruit of our seed, every single one of us. So you have to decide, did my parents do a good job of accepting the one they didn't want me to marry? How about I do a better job on the next round? That's the point. All right, so one, confess. Sorry, take responsibility by confessing. Two, don't receive other people's crap. Three, take the opportunity to quickly forgive, release, and bless. Okay? You're also creating an environment for people to have a different opinion. All right? That's what we're doing here, is creating an environment for other people to have feelings. They get to own their own feelings. Their feelings don't have to be my feelings. Their feelings don't even have to affect my feelings. I can be empathetic, but I don't need to take on their stuff, all right? So you're about to really, really enhance your communication skills in the area of conflict resolution, all right? So let me show you how to do it. And I have done this hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times throughout my entire 29 years of business experience. This works, and it works, I want to say 100% of the time. I want to say that because I can't think of one time where it hasn't worked. Where I've walked into really bad, high stress, nasty, horrible situations where like it feels like blood's going to go flying, and have been able to bring resolution to it, right? Sometimes not right there in the moment when things are flying, but to come back to it and then settle the matter, all right? So we just talked about taking personal responsibility, right? All right, so let's go now. Here is my steps to bring harmony and peace and restoration in the midst of dissension and conflict, okay? So this next little bit of a script is disarming dissension. You ready? So number one, you are going to take personal responsibility, full responsibility. And how you do that is say, please forgive me. Please forgive me. I take full responsibility. Number two, you're going to confess, I did some things that I am not proud of. And I was wrong. Rubies, where are you? Say it. I was wrong. Go ahead. I want to hear you. I was wrong. Okay. I was wrong. Emeralds, where are you? You also have a hard time saying that. Yeah, I also have a hard time saying that. And you like to justify and figure out how you don't have to say that. But let's do it together. Rubies and emeralds together right now. I was wrong. Good job. And own it. Do you hear me? Own that you were wrong. Own it fully that you were wrong. It's healthy, actually, to own that you're wrong. It's healthy. And guess what else it is? It's freeing. It's absolutely freeing to own it if you were wrong, because then you can fix it. If you don't own it, you can't fix it. Okay? All right. So one, please forgive me. I take full responsibility. I did some things. As number two, I did some things that I'm not proud of, and I was wrong. Number three, the truth is, now this is a bridge to where now you're going to edify the person that you wronged. Number four, will you forgive me for what I've done? That's asking for forgiveness. That is a closing question, by the way. Will you forgive me for what I've done? Number five is accountability. And that is to say, will you please hold me accountable? If you ever see me in this action again, I would like you to, as gently as possible, call me out on it. Because I do not want to fail you or anybody this way ever again. Cool. So one, please forgive me. I take full responsibility for what I have done. Confess, I did some things that I am not proud of. The truth is, now you edify the person. Build them up. Let me give you a form of edification, because you're going to confront each other. You're going to confess to each other what it was that you were just involved in. Okay, so you're going to have the chance to take full responsibility. So I'm going to give you some words that you could feel might fit you. So if we go to the place of confession, right? So it's please forgive me. I take full responsibility. Number two, I did some things that I am not proud of. In that number two stage, this is where you can ask the person for permission. Ask them if they would want to know what you said. Okay. Do you want to know what I said so that it doesn't come back from another place completely blown out? Or would you rather not know? Okay? So if they say yes, then you go ahead and tell them what you wrote down. Now, again, I would do that with gentleness, but also truthfulness. Don't spin it, but be truthful, but do it in gentleness. And how do I mean gentleness? Like in humility of I was an idiot. I can't believe I said this. I did something really stupid. I'm so sorry. I should not have done this. Owning it, owning what you said is important, okay? So ask them for permission. So again, let's go back through. Number one is what? Take responsibility. Please forgive me. And I take full responsibility for what I've done, okay? Number two, confess. I did some things. I said some things that I am not proud of. And I was what? What? Awesome. So a little sub to number two. Would you want to know what it was that I said now? Or would you rather not? Just so that you don't hear it from someone else and it's a completely blown out deal. Make sense? So give them the opportunity to say, yes, I want to know what you said. That puts them in control, right? That some people might say, I can't handle that. I don't want to hear that. So no worries. It doesn't matter. Okay, so let's go to number three. What's number three? Edify. Number three is edify. So the bridge of the edification. Now this statement is, the truth is, now build that person up. The truth is, I think you're really freaking remarkable. Look at this room and you're here. The 98%ers didn't show, but you did. And you're investing in yourself because you believe that you deserve or desire a better future. You're here to improve yourself for your business or for your family, and you're completely committed to it. So the facts are, you're really a remarkable person, and it's an honor to actually even know you, because you're the few, the 2% who have made this investment and is improving yourself and learning. Okay? So that's one way you can, and is that not a true statement? Who made it in these doors? The 2% minded people made it through these doors, right? That's who made it through. Did everyone have the opportunity? Yes, over 2,000 people, almost 2,500 people. No, almost 3,000 people had the opportunity to come. Just new people that went to these last three first steps that had the invitation to come to Dynasty, but who took advantage of it? You. You did. You made the commitment. You made the commitment to yourself, and you made the commitment to others, and that's why you're here. Okay, so you edify. Number four, will you forgive me? Ask for forgiveness. Will you forgive me for what I've done? So oftentimes arguments continue with couples endlessly because of not doing these five things. So there's never any closure to it. So it just keeps going and festering and going and going and going because there's no closure. So you got to ask the closing question. Will you forgive me for what I have done? Will you see, admitting that you're wrong is not enough. Did you hear me? But getting closure and buy-in. This is getting buy-in from them when you say, will you forgive me for what I've done? Now they're buying in to this. So when they say yes, now this is where we have unity. Okay? So what's the next step? Number five, accountability. Okay? Accountability. Will you hold me accountable? Because I don't ever want to do this again. I know I'm going to fail from time to time, but I want to get better and better and be a better leader than what I am currently. So will you please hold me accountable? Okay? So, five simple steps. Here's what my recommendation will be. How many of you have ever had someone come to you and confess something to you? Awesome. Here, look around the room. This is beautiful. So you've had people confess something to you, all right? How do you generally handle a confession from somebody? How many of you have gotten upset about what someone has confessed to you? Okay. How many of you have not gotten upset with what was confessed to you? That's so interesting. So a few get upset, but the vast majority don't. That's a trip. That's an interesting case study. So I asked the question, how many of you get upset when somebody confesses something to you? Just a few hands went up, but the vast majority don't get upset when someone confesses something to them. Why? When somebody confesses something to you, what does it show about the person? Humility. Humility, which is, causes us to respect the person, right? So confession breeds respect. Owning your crap and being humble breeds respect. Okay, so when someone confesses, I just want to give you my little formula that when somebody confesses something that they've done wrong, this is generally my formula of how I handle that to bring restoration. You ready? Number one, I fully forgive you and you owe me nothing. You owe me nothing. You are completely released. Thank you for having the courage. This is number two. So number one, forgive fully. I release you. I bless you. You owe me nothing. Number two, thank them for having the courage and humility to confess. Number three, in this case, we're having this person ask for accountability, right? So you say, yes, I would be glad to hold you accountable. What was number two? Is that what you said? Number one was, I forgive you. Number two was, thank you. Thank you for having the courage to confess this to me. Number three is, yes, I will hold you accountable. Number four is, will you hold me accountable? Gosh. This shows incredible humility when you say, I've screwed up in the same exact way. So will you also hold me accountable? Because I would like to have the same goal that you do. I want to stay. I want to do better in this department as well. Number five, edify them back. Edify them back. Now when, let's go through that again before I move on. So one, forgive them. I release you. Here's what's really important. You owe me nothing. This is a non-issue. I will never bring this up again. And you don't need to bring it up either. This is over. Okay. Number two, thank you. Thank you for having the courage to come to me and confess. It's awesome. It says a lot about who you are. Number three, yes, I will hold you accountable. That's only if they ask for it, but in this case, they are asking for it, so I will hold you accountable. Number four, please hold me accountable too, because I have done this also. I've screwed this up, and if you ever hear me saying things about people like that, please call me out on it. Let's help each other. Number five, build them up. Leave it on a really positive note. edify the person. Now I have a question for you. What would happen if you did this with your spouse? This young lady just said it saves your marriage. What would happen if you did this with your spouse? How many think it would change your marriage? It would. You see, a lot of couples end up toxic because they won't do this. They won't do this thing that I just walked you through. They won't do it. They just won't do it. And that's ego, isn't it? That's ego versus the goal. So the more that we can eat crow, the more success in sex we're going to have. What motivates, motivates. Like, ding! Someone just had a V8. You will have more sex if you do this. I promise you. You will have more sex. And ladies, you'll get more gifts, more date nights, more time with him. He'll listen more. The reason why we don't listen is we're already coming to each other with all this baggage. We're ticked off at each other for the last 3 weeks of something that is unresolved. Resolve the issue. The slate is clean. Now we're back together again. Loving each other, loving each other, loving each other. Okay? All right, so we're going to do this together. Okay? It's real simple. You've got your steps in front of you. We created the conflict. It's an artificial conflict. You've been challenged with the opportunity to grow in your emotional stability. Your identity is not tied to some person's mouth. Your identity is tied to your creator who does nothing but sing great things over you, believes in you, is with you, loves you as his child. So you are not identified. Your future and who you are as a person is not determined by what somebody has said here in this room. Okay? We all are screwed up. We all screwed up. Okay? So this is real simple. All right. Have you guys ever been in a conflict like this before? Yes, you have. It hurts your income and your value. You are devalued, first of all, if you're in gossip. You're devalued when you're in gossip. This does not add higher value into the marketplace. You don't increase value into your job if you are doing this with people in your job. Especially gossip. If you're creating dissension and contention that is not fruitful to come out to hashing something out in a positive way, if you're creating contention just to create it, this isn't wise. But when it turns into you disarm dissension, you bring humility, you bring honor, you confront the issue with the goal of restoration being on the other side, this is where things are done right. Okay, so person number one and person number two. Here's the instructions. Person three and four, locate each other. So person number one and person number three. Person number one and three, raise your hand. One and three, raise your hand. One and three. I want one and three to raise their hand. I know what I'm doing. Person number one, raise your hand. Keep your hand up. You don't know who you are? No, the new number one. We didn't say anything prior to that. So you are, I don't need to establish another new number one because you're not new anymore. Number one, raise your hand. Tony, you just didn't like not being number one again. That's what just happened. Can I go back to my number one position, please? You will in a minute. Number ones, raise your hand. Awesome. Number threes, raise your hand. Number three, raise your hand. Okay? Number three is going to confess to four. Number one is going to confess to number two. Listen carefully. Number one, confess to two. Number three, confess to four. You have 2 minutes to make this confrontation or this to resolve this conflict. Hold on. And then, so that's a two-minute bell, okay? Listen carefully. Then there is going to be, actually, let's just go there. So just start with that. Number one, confess to two. Number three, confess to four. Go. Okay, now, person number two has 30 seconds to go through that script of when someone confesses to you, and person number four has 30 seconds to say, I forgive you, I will hold you accountable, you owe me nothing, go for it. 30 seconds. Problem solved. Right there. Problem solved. Okay? Now, like I said, leaders, great leaders will take personal responsibility for the mistakes that they've made, right? So we made some more mistakes. We have a few other people to do this with, right? So now person number two is going to have the opportunity to confess to number one, and number four is going to confess to number three, okay? So two, confessing to one, four, confessing to three. Okay. All right, you're all doing a great job. Okay, so now person number one and person number three is going to read that those five things of, yes, I forgive you. Thank you for having the courage. Go for it. You got 45 seconds. That is better. Say what? No. Stop. Shh. What you were just supposed to do was number two was confessing to number one what they said, all the bad crap, right? Now person number one's job is to say, I forgive you, and I thank you for having the courage to come to me. So you have 45 seconds to say, I forgive you, and yes, I will hold you accountable, and will you hold me accountable? Go. Okay, awesome. I'm making an observation. I want to ask you guys a question. Whenever you have encountered, have you ever encountered somebody that has the ability not to eat other people's crap? Can you think of somebody right now? Have you ever met somebody that's able to do that? How do you feel about that person? What do you think about them? Do you admire them? Do you respect them? Do they stand out of the crowd? You just proved what creates higher value. You just proved right there what creates higher value is whenever you can encounter someone that doesn't take it personal, that doesn't take other people's crap, that doesn't get all offended. Come on, man, we live in a highly offended world today. It is so easy to stand out of the crowd. And when there's someone that does not take the offense when someone else is firing away darts out of their mouth, you all just said, some of you said you've met someone like that. When you've witnessed that, it's like, wow. Not only that, but it sets an example. Has that person set an example for you? Right? And it causes you to respect them more. That's what happens. So isn't that beautiful? So you can be that person. You know it's attainable. You know it's attainable. All right, so now we have person one and two switch back to your original positions. Tony, you get to be number one again. Okay, shh. So now the original number one. Who is across from number one? Number four. So one is going to confess to number four, and the original number two is going to confess to number three. You got 2 minutes. Have this conversation. Okay. Shh. So now number four says, I forgive you. Thank you for having the courage. And so does number three. Go. Okay, now number four, it is your turn to take 2 minutes to confess what you have done, ask for permission if they want to hear what you said, blah, blah. And so number three, it's your confession time. Go for it. Now one and two, tell three and four, yes, I forgive you. Thank you for having the courage. Go for it. You have 45 seconds. Awesome. Now check it out. Check out what just happened. Instead of avoiding confrontation, you ran into it. It took 3 minutes to solve it. It took 3 minutes to solve it. Did you hear me? 2 minutes of the confessor, 45 seconds of I forgive you, thanks for having the courage, and a bunch of edification. Do you understand? So I've done this with growing my family, with raising my kids. Encourage, correct, encourage. Sandwich every, I'm telling you, the very first day that we were here together and having that beautiful young man up here on stage with me, And again, loving parents, loving family, godly family, trying to do their very best to install godly values into their children, but missed one tiny little strategy. Encourage, correct, encourage. Edify, correct, edify. Edify, correct, edify. One simple little strategy could save a lifelong of fear. Right? Could save a lifelong of fear. They may pick up fears from someone else, guaranteed. They're going to get it from somewhere else. That's the reality. But it took 3 minutes to resolve a conflict between you and another person. What happens when you avoid the conflict? There's an explosion. So guess what happens when there's an explosion? You have to do this anyway. Isn't it true? Right? Because what happens in an explosion? Both parties explode, and if you still don't resolve it, then what? Now you're starting the next conflict from this explosion. Now, do you understand? Versus starting the next conflict from the bottom floor. So it doesn't turn into this. This is how we get to the place of having a 10 response to a 2 offense. A size 2 offense, we have a 10 response. Why? Because not because of the current conflict, but because of all the other conflicts that did not get resolved beforehand, okay? So it pays great money to know how to resolve conflict. And it took 3 minutes to do it, and now we're starting with a clean slate. That means the next meeting that we have, we're not bringing this crap into it. You know what, Tony? You're always da-da-da-da-da. And you know what, Bob? You're always da-da-da-da. And Sue, I can't stand the way these last 10 meetings we've had. This is the way you handle it. You're manifesting like a principality of darkness. We saw those last night. It doesn't look good. It took 3 minutes to resolve it. Live your life from a clean slate. Don't live your life from the build up. And I promise you, this is going to bring high value. You bring this kind of skill set into your organization, your church, your charity, your company, the business that you're working for. Wow. This is how you get elevated really fast. This is a stuff that people don't like to deal with, but it has to be dealt with. Do you understand? It has to be dealt with. Awesome. Okay. So edify, encourage, and edify. Now, we're going to switch gears a little bit. Now, here's what's interesting. I was told that tab number 1 had 3 forms in it. It didn't? Awesome. So the second one is, I want 2 and 3. So it'll be disarming dissension and resolving conflict like a pro questionnaire. Okay, volunteers? Say what? You have one more person? Oh, sorry. Sorry. And we do need to do it because we're not going to have unresolved conflict. I love that guy's laugh. You are awesome. Who are you? I need to see the face of the laugh. You're awesome, dude. What's your name?
Tony.
Hi, Tony. He's got a bald white head. This Tony has a bald brown head. That's so funny. This is the other Tony right here. Tony is our, this is the Tony that has doubled the sales of our outbound sales and client services team in the last 90 days. He's like, I want to meet that guy. This guy doubled the sales right here. That's awesome. Okay, so can I just have this team tell me who needs to do it next so I'm clear?
But we've already hugged and kissed.
Oh, but we. No, 1 and 2 were the only ones that switched chairs. Oh, I switched you back before you had the opportunity to do the full thing. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. I completely screwed that up. You guys are so precious. I've been doing that a couple times this weekend, and I feel so grateful that you are all so gracious and patient with me. It's amazing. Okay, So let's do that again. I apologize. I'm so sorry for causing confrustration. That was really good. Yes, confrustration. It's a new word. Check it out, Urban Dictionary. Confrustration. I'm sorry for creating confrustration. It's a terrible thing. I know it is conterribly. I know it's conterribly unprofessional. And thanks for being gracious. So now let's follow the directions. I don't know what I'm supposed to say. I think I got it figured out, though. So if 3 and 4 can switch seats, does that work? Did you hurt yourself? On your knee. Oh, my gosh, and you're here? You're an animal. Did you really just say that? I forgive you. Nice. Okay, so now number 1 and the new number 4. Is that right? Or is it the number 2 and the new number 4? 2 and 4. Number 2 is raise your hand. New two, new three. Forget about it. The freaking person in front of you. All right. So, you guys, you are the easiest people for me to fail in front of. Thank you so much. You're making me not want to quit. Okay, so the ones that are facing the stage are going to be the first confessors. Let's just keep it easy. The ones looking at the stage are the first confessors. You're going to confess to the person that's in front of you. 2 minutes, go. Okay, the people facing the wall, you now say, I fully forgive you, I release you, you owe me nothing, do that script, you have 45 seconds. Okay. All right, so now the people facing the back of the room, it's your turn to confess. Okay, so the ones facing the back of the room are going to confess. You have 2 minutes, go for it. Okay, people facing the wall, it's your turn to say, I forgive you, you owe me nothing. Go for it. Oh, facing the stage. People facing the stage. It's your turn to say, I forgive you. You owe me nothing. Okay. Shh. Excellent work. 2 other things I'm going to address really quick. This is really important. How many of you have been confronted by another person? Okay. How many of you had your child confront you? Oh, look at that. Okay, write this down. It's really important. Everyone needs an editor. And I have been demonstrating that here this weekend, as you guys have corrected me several times. Everyone needs an editor. How do you handle when you're being edited? Like, I just watched a bunch of... How do you handle it when you're being edited? Everyone needs an editor. This is massive. Everyone needs an editor. Everyone needs an editor. You will always need an editor as a father, as a mother, as a coworker, a business leader, a church member. Everyone needs an editor. That's a very humble place to live. So if that's the position you take, that everyone needs an editor, or I need an editor, then you're not killing yourself over making mistakes. You're not putting yourself down. You're not defending yourself. You're not arguing. You're not spinning. You're owning it. Everyone needs an editor. So when you're humble, when you take the edit, now that builds trust. You also now are a safe place for people to give feedback to. If you can't take it, then they're not going to give you feedback. And there are just some times that, especially on your, depending on your position and level of respect that someone has for you, they sometimes have a hard time confronting you. That happens to me often. They can't confront you because they don't want you to feel bad, right? So let's talk real for a few minutes about how do I handle it when I'm confronted? Well, if I've got the mindset that I need an editor, then what's the answer when someone brings a correction to you? Thank you. Man, thanks for helping me out. I appreciate what you've said. Thank you for letting me know. This really helps me. And I'm going to ask my kid that's in the room, is that my response? Micah? When you've had to confront me, and he's been scared to do it, I can't talk to you, Mom. Your kids, by the way, don't think they can talk to you when they are wrestling with something. But Micah and I talk about deep things. This is the kid that I've spent a lot of time helping to get him to dream, which isn't very difficult, but hearing his dreams and his amazing imagination that he's had since he was really little and have celebrated that imagination. But when he's wrestling with something, your kid doesn't want to confront the issue, and it's largely his personality. He doesn't like confrontation, so he avoids it at all costs. So when you've confronted me, I say, thank you. Thank you for pointing that out. I appreciate it because it is not my heart in any way to do anything that would make you feel bad or not supported or whatever. So this is really helpful for me. Can you tell me more about what you're feeling? Can you give me some more examples about where you feel I'm actually doing this? Because I obviously have a blind spot that I'm not seeing, and I really need the help to see it. Have I said these things to you?
Yeah.
Thank you. Hold on. So, I mean, this is a real life thing, all right? This is my son. There he is. He's just so precious, man.
Where are we going?
That is Aquaman. No, wait, I'll show you Aquaman. Sorry. Now it's Aquaman. So amazing. Okay, say what you were saying. So first of all, I'm going to confirm so that when you have, and again, it takes a lot. There's a lot of buildup. And you can see the buildup on your kid, right? So that's when you should go to your kid and say, is there something stirring inside of your heart that I need to know about? Or is there something I've done that has hurt you? Is there something I communicated that wasn't right? By the way, do that with your employees. If you can see, you leaders, you can see the giant pink elephant in the room. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You can feel the tension in the air, right? So the leader's going to go into the tension and dig it out. What's going on here? Let's get underneath this thing, okay? It's not fun, but the results are powerful. So I've done that a lot in my home. I've done a lot in our company also. I learned how to do it in business first, and I brought it into the home. So go ahead.
I lost my train of thought. Well, for one thing, 93% of all communication is nonverbal. So a lot of times I think if you're waiting for your kid to say something, you need to really be the one that pulls it out of them, because this situation like happened probably 8 months ago. It was like around January, February was the last time that there was a situation between mom, dad, and I. And I did not want to be the one to talk to them about it. And I was always expressing it through other sources. Because I was like, I don't want to talk to mom and dad about it, because I think it's me that's wrong, and so I'm busy dealing it with myself. I'm like, I don't need to talk to mom and dad about it. I think I'm the issue here, and it's something that I like need to work on for myself. So eventually, mom and dad both asked me, and I expressed that to them, and they're like, it's not, you know, they're like, you're right on. It's nothing. So I even told them that. I was like, the reason why I've been avoiding you guys and I've been avoiding talking about this is because I'm looking at myself, because I think it's my problem. So anyway,
sometimes we don't confront someone for that reason, right? So he's one that'll internalize it himself and say, oh, it must be me. But when I see all the stuff going on there, like even if it is you or it's not you, there's something going on here. So are you okay? Is everything all right? Is there something I've done? Is there something that I've said to cause something in between the two of us? Because I can feel that maybe something's not quite right. So please tell me, because I don't want to continue to do something that is not helpful and beneficial to our relationship. Our relationship really matters to me. So please tell me if there's something I've done, if there's something I've communicated, if there's a certain attitude I've had or something. Like, please let me know. Whatever it is. And so if there is something, then that's the opportunity for them to confront the issue, right? If there isn't, then you'll hear something that is bothering them. And what does that do? That's creating a safe place for your child, your coworker, your spouse to have a chance to vent, to get something off their chest. That builds trust, that builds loyalty, that builds respect. Make sense? Yeah. Okay. Thanks for sharing that. I appreciate it. You're awesome. Aquaman.
You. Love you.
Okay. What's that? Oh, it's on my wrist. Sorry. Okay. I know. Amazing hair. Amazing hair. All three of our boys have amazing hair like that. All right. So when we're being confronted, I gave you the script. When you're being confronted, what you say, thank you so much. I really appreciate you saying this. This is really helpful. And I want you to come to me anytime to tell me and hold me accountable. I need to work on this because this is not a good thing. This is a weakness and I don't want to be walking in my weakness. And my, especially when my weakness is harming our relationship. So, excuse me. What happens when you need to confront people in your... organization, your company, it's the same exact thing. It's always the same thing. So this format I just gave you puts you in a place of humility going after restoration. You cannot get to restoration if there's no humility. Did you hear me? Restoration will not come without humility. Ego is what continues the fight. Ego continues the fight to be right. But humility is the thing that opens the door for restoration, harmony, and unity. It's so amazing. So it's so funny, in our pubescent minds, honestly, we just want everyone to get along. This isn't heaven. We just want everyone to get along. This isn't heaven. And I'm not so sure that in heaven, everyone gets along. Who said everyone gets along in heaven? Right? I think that's called a fantasy. I think only robots can get along. Because they don't have any opinions. So if you have to confront an employee or a child or whatever, this script I just gave you works for all of it. The main positioning is humility. You walk in looking for where it is that you can improve, not looking for a confession and someone else to admit that you're right and they're wrong. So that's the immature mind wants to be right and proved right, and I'm going to stand at the mountaintops to prove that I am right. Okay? Was this helpful for you? Can you guys see how this elevates your value in the marketplace? Does this improve the marriage and the relationship with the kids? Absolutely. Will you be able to use this? Yes. A necessary evil. This always is rated as the worst exercise and the worst part of creating a dynasty. But I know better. I know better. This woman over there is like, this saved my marriage. This right here saved my marriage. So bottom line is you can't grow unless you know how to handle conflict. You know how to handle conflict? Resolve conflict like a pro. Make it a goal of yours. If it's a thing that you run from, I want you to run into it. Run into it. And this is how you keep unity and harmony in the home and at work. Let's pass out the next two. We have disarming dissension, which is a script that a script with a bunch of instructions in it. I want you to hold on to it. It is for you. Keep it in a file. It's also for confronting an issue with a leader, confronting an issue with a customer, confronting an issue with a coworker. It's how to go straight in and confront it. Okay. That's a script. That's for you. Nice little bonus. Second piece of paper you have there is a list of questions. Go ahead and answer the questions by yourself. Yep, you got two pieces of paper coming at you. While you're getting your forms, you got to hear this. This is Hans's cousin, who I call my cousin too, Tim Johnson.
I know.
This is my cousin Tim. And Tim has actually been coming to these events since you were how old? 11 years old. 11, 12 years old. And he's been studying the materials since he was in junior high school. This is the 11, 12-year-old that rather than doing all these other things that kids his age were doing, he was listening to Six Figures in 6 Months. Yeah, I know. Six Figures in 6 Months. All bunch of different products that he's had. Grooming. Keep going.
Expose involve an upgrade.
Grooming the next gen. War on debt. Okay, this is the 12-year-old who's studying these materials, right? So he's grown up around this. A very successful young man, 25 years old, who has a rental property, and he just told somebody he used the script to do what?
Right. So y'all are getting a script right now called Disarming Dissension. Is that getting passed out right now?
Yeah.
So I got to use that script in real life recently. So I, like so many of y'all, I'm interested in real estate. So I was like, I'm going to go and get a property. I don't really know what I'm doing, but I'm going to figure it out as I go. And I was like, you know, the script.
You have to put this in your mouth or
okay.
They can't hear you.
I'm going to talk with my hands a lot. Sorry. So I was like, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm just going to do it. And I knew that with the skills that I had learned from Danny and Hans that I would figure it out. And that, you know, I was like, oh, that's fun to think about. And then I actually had to do it, and that was really, it was tough. So I had a tenant. Long story short, I thought, you know, they were great tenants. Come to find out, they're doing coke in the bathroom. They're bringing some sketchy person into the property to do coke in the bathroom. And the other tenants were obviously not happy with that. They were like roommates. So, and then that, from that, turned into a couple weeks later, a huge fight. Someone kicked down a door, threatened somebody with a knife. It was just a nightmare. And so I'm in a situation, not knowing anything about how to be a landlord, not knowing, like, this is like my nightmare. How the heck am I going to evict this person? This is my nightmare. I'm about to fall flat on my face. And I was like, oh, wait, there's this one script. Let me go find it. So I looked this up, and I, like, rehearsed this phone call. I was talking with my property manager. I was like, all right, I got to handle this. I got the script. Okay, I'm just gonna follow this. I'm gonna see. I wrote it all out, and I was expecting to tell this tenant, like, all right, you're gonna get evicted. I'm gonna have to take you to court. I was even willing to like offer them cash for keys to get them out of the property. I was willing to go all the way there. I had it all the way down at the bottom. This is what I was gonna do. I followed the script, and you can read how the script goes. Basically, got the tenant to agree to move out the next day without me having to do anything. I was about to offer them cash. And because I followed the script that you're getting right now, I was able to avoid that entirely, avoid court, avoid having to go in front of a judge, avoid the whole process. Me, who knows nothing about being a landlord. Well, I learned something about people, yeah, from kind of these events and from following that script that you just got right now. So, if you want to avoid conflict, if you're a pearl like me, although people say I'm not, if you want to avoid conflict, resolve conflict quickly, be successful at things that you don't think you can be successful at, disarm dissension like a pro, follow the script that you just got. Read it and find materials online. There's videos and stuff, right?
That's right.
And there's material that you can get at the back table. Yeah.
So proud of you. That's a millennial. 25 years old. By the way, single. Resumes within. She has a daughter. He is amazing. Amazing, amazing. Makes great money. He was not the teaser guy that dated a bunch of chicks. None of that stuff. He's totally honorable kid. Yes. So if you have any daughters or there's young women in here interested in, we need to interview you first. Make sure you know how to honor a young man, and we'll take care of him through hot marriage secrets. Because that's how that thing's going to go down. Well, okay. Anyway, the script he's talking about is Disarming Dissension. That's the title of it. You have it in your hand. Okay? That's the name of it. You have it in your hand. Okay? Now, answer the questions. You have 3 minutes to go through those questions. Please answer them as honestly as you possibly can. Okay, volunteers, please pass out tab 4 and 5. Now, everybody else that's going to be receiving 2 more pieces of paper, The first one that you're going to get is another exercise that we're going to end this segment with. The second piece of paper is called My Favorite Thing. So while they're passing it out, I'm going to talk about this for a minute. Remember I said earlier that anytime you need to confront an issue, okay, when you go to confront an issue, it's better to edify. What's the second step? Correct, and then edify again, okay? So edify, correct, edify. Now, this next exercise you're about to walk through really instills loyalty, really helps you to solve an ache that is actually inside of people's hearts, something that they desire desperately. And again, the example I'll use was Biscanetti with our wonderful young man that was here that needed more encouragement growing up but did not get it, okay? So this thing, the second paper you're getting is called My Favorite Things. This is a very powerful tool that we have used for a really, gosh, more than a decade, Jen? Yeah, at least more than a decade, maybe two. I mean, I've done it with, yes, yeah, so 10 years, right. So this form, I would recommend you make a copy of it, or do we have a PDF?
Yeah,
we have a PDF of this that we can put in your thingamajigger. What do you call that?
Derek.
She says, I have to, Derek.
Can we put that in their account manager?
Can we put this in their account manager?
There you go.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to have, so you can fill this out yourself because, again, it's important for you to be discovering you. Okay? And then you want to print these out for your team, your staff, maybe even your family. So what this does is it helps you to customize honor in the form of gifting to someone. How do you appreciate someone where they actually receive it? Right? So there's some of us that we don't like gifts. There's some people that don't like gifts, and there's others that really love gifts, right? There's others that they might like a hug more than they want a gift because a gift might be more clutter in their life. Right? And they don't want more clutter in their life. They'd much rather have a hug. Okay? There's other people, they like personal notes. So this is called My Favorite Things. This sheet is called My Favorite Things. So it asks favorite color, favorite candy, favorite drink or beverage, favorite type of food, favorite flower, gift certificate, favorite way to de-stress, favorite movie, pizza, restaurant. Okay? So it has a list. And when you have your staff or your sales force or your family fill this out, when it comes time to gift-giving time, birthday, or to celebrate anniversary, guess what? You pull this sucker out, you have it. You don't have to go, what the frick am I going to get them? And most people usually buy for someone else what they would want to receive, which is not honoring the person at all. You're just buying for someone else something that you like to get, right? So let's say that there's somebody that loves to get massages, and they're going to buy a massage for someone else that hates to be touched by a stranger. You see what I'm saying? Or let's say I love red, but red for someone else is painful. So I buy a red shirt for someone because I want to appreciate them. And I want to tell them, like, man, you really blessed me. But red to that person, they've got some major scars. It means blood. It's something traumatic to them. And here I bought a beautiful red shirt for someone. And she's like, how could you buy that for me? Don't you know I hate red? Can you hear what I'm saying? So this form of favorite things helps you to honor your family and your coworkers, nailing it every time. And Pete, by the way, if you have sapphires in your family, they probably need this every 6 months. Because their favorite things change every 6 months. If it's an emerald, chances are the same favorite thing for 20 years is probably still going to be the same favorite thing. Okay, but generally speaking, know the personality gem. And depending on the gem will help you know when you need to update this. And it's always good to update it now and again. Okay, kind of like the chocolate Lucky Charms. It was from like 3 years ago. Longer than that, like maybe 4 or 5 years ago. Hell, yeah, it's been 5 years since I've had that as a favorite thing. Some things do recycle. I'm back to my Cheetos again. Joking. And I don't like chocolate. I don't like any sweets. Did you hear that? I don't like any sweets. No sweets. I don't like carbohydrates that are junk food either. I just eat carrots and cucumbers and freaking Greek yogurt. Non-fat. What's that? Shut up about my Skittle problem. It's purple Skittles. What's that? I love feeding orphans. That's what I really love. I love feeding orphans. That's like my most favorite ever gift ever to get is somebody joining forces with us and feeding orphans or taking care of the poor. That's like the greatest gift. Don't write me a card. Feed an orphan. Okay. This exercise is going to make you powerful. It's going to make you more money. It is going to help you build a team. It is going to build loyalty. This next exercise, coupled with the last exercise that we did, is going to help you uncover what's deep within inside somebody's heart that gives them the sense of belonging and being a part of something that's bigger than themselves. So now, much like the other exercise, you're going to turn to the page that has all the lines on it, and it says appreciation and encouragement. Write five things down that you appreciate about each person in your group. I'm going to do something right now while you're writing. I'm going to give you this secret little tip, okay? Because there's a God factor here. The gift of encouragement is a spiritual gift. It's a spiritual gift. So I pray, Father, tell me specifically the exact word that needs to be spoken to this person right now. Give me the word of encouragement that they need to hear. So, Father, right now I ask on behalf of all of this beautiful, amazing team of amazing people who are so committed to changing the world, that you would put your spirit of encouragement inside of every single one of us. Give us the exact words that would be the most powerful of seeds to plant in each other. Father, let your spirit of prophecy fall down on us. That you would use our mouths to speak life, 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 life over our team that we're sitting with right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, what you have written down is enough. So now, person number one, raise your hand. You are the first receiver. You are soil. We've moved, how many of you moved some rocks out of the way yesterday? Okay, we moved rocks out. How many of you pulled some weeds yesterday? How many of you removed some thistles last night, right? So now the soil is what? More fertile than it was when you got here, okay? So now, remember, we just finished going through an exercise where we could choose not to receive, right? Now what will we do? Receive. So this is something I started a really long time ago. You might think it's really weird, but I'm telling you it works. So when somebody pays you a word of encouragement, say, thank you, I receive that. And you literally, some of you, and I want to see the Dynasty grads, where you've used this little technique where you say, thank you, I received that, where you've felt the deposit go in. How many of you literally have felt the deposit inside of your soul, okay? So you saw their hands. Those are former Dynasty grads. Just try it. If somebody is paying you a word of encouragement or appreciation, look them in the eyes and say, thank you, I received that. And through time, here's the deal. If you're anything like I was, I couldn't receive compliments, and sometimes it's still challenging. Depending on what's going on inside of my head, sometimes I've gone through seasons where I, thank you, I received that, thank you, I received that, and then there's other seasons. I had a season this past year where there was some, like, challenges that I personally walked through about some yucky stuff inside my heart, so it wasn't easy for me to be receiving. And I got to tell you, my son Roman has been the one to, like, grab me by the shoulders, Mom, say thank you, I received that. Okay, thank you. Seriously. Because right away I often will shift, like someone pays me a compliment. No, we have an amazing team. Like, because we do. I know that I do very little here. I mean, hello, I'm 5 hours a month, which I'm not gonna be moving forward. I'm excited. I'm so excited about going to work. So, no, I actually am back to work. I've just been on the road, working on the road. But meaning in my office is where I will be. But I've been working more, right? I have. She can confess, which is why we needed an executive assistant, because she now has too much to do. Anyway, yeah, no, when I go to work, it's over. Over. It's going to get crazy. Lots of production. I'm very productive. Okay, so anyway, I'm staying focused right now. And thank you, I receive that, is what you want to say. Thank you, I receive that. Just test it out. You might not feel anything this time, but as you practice this, this is what helped me to start receive good seed. I was so damaged inside that all I could ever receive was bad seed, and I rejected all good seed. So now I am able to receive good seed, and I'm able to take other seed and evaluate it before I receive it or not. Meaning if somebody's saying something corrective or critical, I can just look at that and go, okay, I probably need to look into this. If this comes up a lot and it bothers me, maybe there's something in me that needs to be worked out. Right? That's what it is. If it's something someone said stings, I probably need to look into this because it shouldn't be stinging. Okay? All right. So person number one is the first receiver. Person number two, raise your hand. You can't raise your hand if you're daydreaming. Raise your hand. Wave at me. Okay, cool. Person number two. Yeah, that's you. Raise your hand. Hi. Okay, so raise your hand. You are the first giver. Okay? You're the first voiced. You're the voiced giver. Okay, you understand what I'm saying? You got 2 minutes. Hold on one second. Yeah, each person. So listen carefully. So person number two is going to give 2 minutes worth of words of encouragement to person number one. The bell's going to ring. Then person number three, raise your hand. Person number three then has 2 minutes. You got to speak for the entire 2 minutes to person number one. Bell rings. Person number four, hand go up. Person number four, go up. Person number four then has 2 minutes to speak a word of encouragement over person number one. Now, take this to another level. What gem is the person you're encouraging? Speak the language of the gem with your verbal and nonverbal communication, okay? Speak their language, all right? That's if you want to go there. If this is your first time learning how to speak a word, to have the courage to encourage somebody, then you deal with that part of it. Next time you come to Dynasty, next May, where? Next Dynasty is where? Orlando, Florida. Yep. The next Dynasty is in May in Orlando, Florida. So when you go to that next Dynasty, okay, I guess there's a few people that want to go to Dynasty again, okay? This is a lifelong thing, by the way. This is. We all need these tune-ups. Every 6 months, we need these tune-ups. Okay? So 6 months from now, we'll be in Orlando, Florida, and then maybe that's when you want to try to practice speaking encouragement in the gym that you're talking to. Okay? So it's up to you, whichever one that you want to do. Okay? 2 minutes. Remember what you did yesterday with the listening exercise? So you can have one scribe in the circle. So in this case, it could be number four if their writing is legible and they know whether or not their writing sucks. Okay. On your mark, get set, go. It looks like some of you guys are confused. And some of you are going faster and some of you are going slower. What person are you on? Number three is giving. Or receiving? Okay, number three is receiving. From who? Perfect. Go. Good job. Now, answer the questions, please. Turn the paper over and answer the questions, please. All right. Person number four, you're going to go first. You have 2 minutes to share, to debrief. Let me tell you what debriefing does. Debrief gets buy-in. You have a team. So, for example, whenever Hans and I were needing to make some big, I'll give you a prime example. Secret Millionaire was a prime example that when they approached us about doing that show, I didn't just make the decision by myself. Hans and I had lots of discussions. We went before all the kids including the ones that were already gone and on their own, because this had an impact on them. Our family being exposed before 11 million people just for that initial first night, not even realizing how many countries that show would be played in and how many times they would replay that over and over again, and then the internet. So we get buy-in by saying, okay, here's the idea. We want to know what each one of you think about this. Okay, versus being the dictator that says, this is where I'm going. I don't care what you think about it or what your opinion is. Okay, so debriefing with your team is really, really important, because that's also when other new creative ideas and innovation come. So you're going to learn from each other how each one of you perceived what happened in from the time that we got in here, where y'all were in a fight and a conflict earlier, and then we're ending with this. So let's talk about what this exercise did for you. 2 minutes each person to speak. Again, think in terms of gems. You have a team you're talking to. Speak the gems if you want to. If you want to take it out of them. If you don't, just talking, just debriefing yourself might be all that you need to do. Go for it. 2 minutes per person. We're going to start with number 4, 3, 2, 1. 4, 3, 2, 1. 4, raise your hand. 3, 2, 1. 4, 3, 2, 1. Go. Okay. All right, you are done with that. Please turn your chairs back around. And can I have the who? Volunteers? Registration team, please go to the back. You know who you are. Oh, my tricep. That was the best group to be in? Yeah, of course. Oh, was it all rubies? Oh, my gosh. It was, no, David's a sapphire. Of course. Well, he's been in your group before, and he's never said that. Registration team is heading to the back. That's a lot of registration team. It's a lot of people. It's a big team. Okay, well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have an amazing night tonight. We are. We're going to have an amazing night tonight. But before we break for tonight, what I would like to ask for you to do would be, first of all day we have been creating an environment that creates team. You see, in a team, there's conflict, right? A team has to know how to promote each other, edify each other, confront issues, and encourage each other. You learned this morning how to promote like a pro. You learned a simple step-by-step system on how to create excitement, urgency, curiosity, right? Bring people to a decision. Learn how to close today. Thanks. I know I'm late. So between yesterday and today, we've been coming together closer as a team. We've cried together as a team. We've laughed together as a team. And I want you to know that even though this room is packed with an amazing group of people, there's a whole nother group of people that is not here this weekend that span the globe as well. And Destiny Global believes that every person has a destiny. We believe that that destiny is unique to that one individual, and everyone defines success for themselves and a calling. There's a calling that's calling out of them. And there's a calling out of you. But we really are connected all over the world together. And when we end this event tomorrow night, in fact, there's going to be baptisms for tomorrow night for those of you who are staying for that. As we end tomorrow night, I know that after tonight and tomorrow, we're going to be even closer, especially even after baptisms. So what I would ask that you do, because you're a part of a team, I would love for you to wear the jersey that represents that team. And I would love for you to make the commitment to join us on this adventure of changing 100 million lives. And we want to spread the message that every human being has a destiny. Globally, they have a destiny, and we're all interconnected, and that our lives are not our own, but our lives are interconnected to each other to bring change in places that is desperately needed. I'm so grateful for how you have been today with me, how you were yesterday, how you honored my husband this morning, and what he's going to bring this evening is wealth. You're going to learn the true wealth formula tonight. So powerful. He's going to show you exactly how he's done what he's done and what he does with our family. But before we leave for dinner, we would love for you to join us. You are now a part of the Destiny Global team. This is Creating a Dynasty 2017, San Antonio, Texas. But the most important message, yes, we are creating a dynasty together, right? But the real important message is the one that's going to see the back of you. And that's a message for them that it says, Destiny calls you, right? So we would love for, I'm going to wear this shirt tomorrow. I would love it if you would wear this shirt tomorrow. So we have one for you. So all the smalls and mediums, you go out that door. That's where your tables are going to be. Please be patient. There's hundreds and hundreds of us in here charging a table for a t-shirt. Back there is all the larges and above. So if you're large and above, straight back out those doors. If you're small, medium, and youth sizes, that's out that door. We're going to meet back here tonight at 7:30 for True Wealth Formula. Thanks so much for a great day. See you later.